a good apology.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually sent a letter to Ben Cardin, by the way, and I said, going to do the June 19th, you know, as a holiday. I says, the slaves weren't all free on June the 19th. The border states of Maryland, West Virginia, Kentucky, Missouri, they weren't freed until December the 6th, 1865, with the signing of the 13th Amendment. And Ben Cardin wrote back, says, oh, we traditionally celebrate on June 19th. I said, but the border states weren't free. It was only those slaves in the states that were still in rebellion from the Emancipation Proclamation. Yeah, exactly. Maryland, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Missouri. Don't confuse us with the facts, I know. Well, sure, exactly. So, anyway, so that was just a moment in history. We continue our study in 2 Samuel. And if you can't read the scripture there, you might want to actually open your Bibles or your device. And so we have here the beginning of Nathan's prediction that the sword will not depart from David's house because of what he does with Bathsheba, because of what he did with Uriah. And so we'll have a discussion afterwards here, but this is, to me, a very odd narrative because of how it unfolds. And fathers, I want you to pay close attention here, because one of the things we see throughout the narrative is David was a lousy father, just a lousy father. Even at the very end of this narrative, you just shake your head and say, what in the world? So we pick it up here at chapter 13, 2 Samuel, verse 1. I think I'll read out of the Bible here instead of the what's on the page here. It might take a while. It says, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day by day? Will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you and say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I might see it and eat it from her hand. Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill, and when the king came to see her, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. And David sent to Tamar, saying, now go to your brother brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down, and then she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes into his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into my bedroom. that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon her brother in the bedroom. Now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." She answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing shall be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. Where could I take my shame? And as for you, you will be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." And however, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that his hatred, which he hated her, was greater than the love which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." And she said to him, "No, indeed, the evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. And then he called his servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out away from me," and bolt the door behind her. And now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Ashley, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take the thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when the king David heard of these things, he was very angry. All right, we'll pick up the narrative later on from there. So here we have this lust narrative. You have Tamar, David's daughter, who is exceedingly beautiful. And her half-brother lust after her and is obsessed. And by the way, let me make a comment on this word, loved her. It's the same word that's used, tabah, over for Solomon. He loved who? He loved many women. Well, can you actually truly love many women, or is there kind of a lust type of thing going on here? And so we see that this is not what we would call agape love in the New Testament, right? This self-sacrificing, devoted type of love. And so Ammon mopes and won't eat and is consumed by passion. And if any young person's ever been in love, that's what you do. You just can't think of anything else. And there's an obsession there. And that's what he's doing. But he has a problem because Ammon is Tamar's what? His half-sister, right? And so that becomes a problem, especially when you look at the Levitical laws. Now, Amnon's cousin, Jonadab, finds out about Amnon's dilemma. And Jonathan is a sneaky man. Matter of fact, it says he's a crafty man. Jonadab is a sneaky man. Matter of fact, he's a crafty man. When was the last time we heard that someone was crafty? Yeah, in the garden, right? The serpent was what? More crafty than all the other animals. Same word is being used here. Crafty. Sneaky. Be able to devise wicked things. So Jonadab suggests that Ammon feign that he's sick. Now, when the scriptures say that he was sick here, it doesn't mean that he actually had an illness. He was lovesick, right? He was just sort of, moping and everything else, because all he can think about is his desire for Tamar, and he fantasizes about that. So Amnon feigns sickness, and then he requests that Tamar come to take care of him. Now, that's what Jonadab suggests, that, you know, have Tamar come. There's several problems here. Now, obviously, we can look in much clearer eyes 3,000 years back, right, in the past, but we take a look at this on the surface and say, there's some real issues here. So David visits Amnon and hears his request, and David doesn't discern there's anything wrong. He has absolutely no discernment that there's a problem here. Amnon had plenty of servants, right? I mean, how would Tamar, his half-sister, be able to minister to an illness better than the servants? And some of them obviously would have been trained in the whatever medical arts they had back there, and herbs and whatever it is, to take care of the sick. How is it that he has to have Tamar? Shouldn't have been a red flag right there, like, what? You know, only Tamar could take care of this. And so, and the second thing, now I know some of you might disagree with this, but the second thing, how does eating a couple cakes help with a sickness? Now, over my 70 plus years, I've never had a doctor say, now go take two cakes and call me in the morning, right? Hostess Twinkies or whatever, you know, why not? What? I don't think that's a normal remedy. It might have been has some cannabis in it, or turmeric, or whatever. Make sure you mix some herbs in there. So I don't know. I mean, take two cakes and call me in the morning. So to me, there's something odd here, you know. Now David orders Tamar to go to her brother to attend him. Now I want you to notice here, Tamar is very beautiful. Matter of fact, a lot of beautiful women don't realize the designs of men. We're going to talk about that. She's totally innocent. She's clueless. She said, Amnon is her what? Her brother. I mean, this is the farthest thing from her mind. She's very pure. And as we're going to talk about in a minute, pure people really don't suspect impurity in other people. They really think people should behave the way that's decent to behave, right? Tamar's totally clueless. She has no idea what's going on here. And so young women are very, very vulnerable. And they rarely notice the signs of a man's desires and manipulations, because they're not thinking. They're not typically clued into that. And his father's day, I'm going to mention something to your father's in a second here, but Tamar stayed naive throughout this entire encounter. I mean, one step after another, you'd think at some point, say, wait a minute, something's wrong here, right? But she is incredibly naive, and a lot of times, young ladies are very naive, and that's a problem. It makes them very vulnerable. So surely her brother would respect her, but not violate her. Now, here's what I want to say. Man, this is Father's Day. One of the greatest things you can do for your daughters is to school them in the ways of young men. I mean, they don't know. You think they should know. They don't. They're clueless. Matter of fact, Solomon mentions that over... No, it's not Solomon who wrote that one. It was Lemuel. Wrote that in Proverbs 30 and verse 19. He said he marveled at the way of a man with a maiden. Right? And so he just marvels at how this manipulation's going on. And so, I mean, that's a frank discussion, right? You sit down and say, listen, this is what young guys will do. This is what they're thinking. This is what they're after. That's a very important discussion to have and to emphasize in how to protect themselves. Now, there are no warning signs that require awareness up to this point. Amnon had not approached her, so there's no way. And so a girl needs to be aware of her surroundings, aware of her own emotions, especially when you get into the dating period. Matter of fact, just finished a novel about teenage dating. Something to cheer about that should come out in a few weeks. And just to warn, especially young ladies, you know. And so I like to, that's my hobby. I just write things, you know. The girl needs to be aware of her own emotions. She needs to be aware when she's being manipulated. And she needs to be aware of the line, right? Matter of fact, that's what really bothers me about the Song of Solomon. You know, you got to say, you're the only one. At that point, it says in the Song of Solomon, he had 85 at that point, so I guess it's early on. Ends up with 1,000. The manipulation, and you know, people believe that. Let me tell you, this is just a side note. Years ago, I had counseling. Twice this has happened. I mean, more than twice. I remember two. Where a woman would come to her and the husband is chasing after another woman. And this is a second marriage. I said, well, at one time, weren't you the other woman? Well, yeah, but he sort of divorced me. Don't you think if you were the other woman that at some point you'd be the wife and there'd be another woman? This is his pattern of this guy. And I had that, you know, at least twice. I said, the naivety is just unbelievable. This is not the fact that this woman over here that he's married to is so lousy and you're so great. It's the fact that this guy has this lust problem. And I know this is a very frank discussion, but I think it's an important one to have. And so there are many signs here at a Tamar missed. She wasn't expecting, she wasn't looking for it. By the way, you always miss signs if you're not looking for them, right? You always miss things that when you look back and say, boy, I should have seen this coming, but you were just totally trusting. Matter of fact, I like President Reagan's concept, trust, but what? Verify. Yeah, exactly. It's accountability, right? And so here we have Tamar. Look at the five signs she missed. Number one, how could she somehow be better at helping her brother than some trained person in medicine in the palace, right? Tamar has to be the one to come? Number two, how can a couple baked cakes cure sickness? I mean, let's ask cannabis in this, as Henry suggested. Yeah. I mean, that's not a normal remedy. Go to the store and buy some Edelman's donuts and you'll be taken care of. That's not a normal medical relief problem or package there. Number three, when Ammon dismisses all her servants, red lights should have gone off all over the place, right? Wait a minute. It's just me and my brother here. Why? What reason would he have to dismiss all his servants, leaving her alone with him, right? Now she's still totally naive in what's going on. Number four, when Ammon wants Tamar to bring the cakes into his private bedchamber, that's when she should have turned on her sandals and headed out the door, right? I mean, I know she's trusting, but boy, the suspicions, why would you? Because one of the things we have in 1 Timothy 6 is to stay away from every what? Appearance of evil, anything that looks like it. I mean, it doesn't look good that brother and sister are in this room together, and then brother and sister are going to be in the bedroom together, and that just the appearance of that. Now, again, she's totally naive, because honorable people tend to view other people as also honorable people, right? And that's one of the problems, is the fact, well, I don't think that my brother would have any ill designs, right? And then when Anna refuses to eat the cakes, I thought the whole intention was for her to come and to make the cakes for him that he might eat, that he might feel better, or whatever these cakes are going to do. So she misses all the signs. Now, I'm going to stop here for just a second. Who should have taught her about this? Yeah, now, Mama also, but David should have sat down with his daughters and said, listen, this is how men work. Matter of fact, David was one of those, wasn't he? With Bathsheba, right? David doesn't seem to have really any interaction with his kids at all. Just seems to be an absent father. He allowed the servants or whoever else, the wives or whoever, to take care of these things, but he just was a missing father. And we don't have any scripture telling us how David was raised. He's one of eight brothers. Doesn't mention any sisters, but he's one of eight brothers. We don't know how he's raised or what Jesse did, but whatever it was, he obviously doesn't pick up on it, and he's negligent. So Amnon grabs Tamar to force her, and she vehemently protests. He says, such a thing is disgraceful. Shouldn't be done in all of Israel. By the way, last time we saw this phrase was when Dinah goes into, you know, Shechem, Jacob's daughter, and she is caught by the prince, Shechem, and he lays with her and in the field. And the brothers come, and they basically wipe out all the men in Shechem and said, this is a disgraceful thing that was done in Israel. And, of course, that was Levi and Simeon. And so here we have this thing. So he said, this is disgraceful. He says, Amnon, don't you know, my brother, that you'll be known as a fool if you do this? Now, listen, particularly young ladies, listen up. Lust has no rationality. Feelings have no rationality. There's no logical thing, you know, if I do this and do this. All wants know is they want it, right? That's what you have in James 1:15. It says, you know, you sin when you're carried away by your own what? Your lust, your own cravings, or your longings. It's a fact. Even though in your mind you know this is wrong, you know that whatever a man sows, that shall he reap, all that stuff. But if you have an obsession about something, you have an obsession, you go for it no matter what. You blow right past all the warning signs. I mean, even Paul, who was told not to go to Jerusalem, he blew right past that. Always, always, no exception, always to your own hurt, right? Always to your own hurt. When you blow past the warning signs, it's always to your own hurt. It's always regret involved. And so here's what we have here is the fact that Amnon grabs her and fills it. Lust knows no reason. And Tamar offers some alternatives right here. She's desperate. She's a chaste woman. She wants to stay chaste. He says, now listen, if you ask our father the king, he'll give me to you. Now, that's the problem from the very beginning, is the fact that that the Levitical law says you're not to lie with your sister or lie with your relatives, and it lists the whole thing over there in Leviticus chapter 18 of all these things you're not to do. And so, let me go back to David. How was Amnon trained? Wasn't trained at all by David. Right? And I think we have an answer towards the end of this passage. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But here he goes, she goes right past it, and she has he's treating his sister like she's a girl in a brothel. Now Tamar would rather submit to marrying Amnon, even though that was not according to Levitical law. I mean, Abraham married his half-sister, but that was before the law was given, rather than being raped. And even though Tamar knew that was not a proper solution, she said, I'd rather you do that, go to David. And I think in the back of my mind, she's thinking, I could get out of here, and David would say no because of violation. But David already did violation, so would he or not? And so we have this problem. Tamar is being violated. She misses all the signs. Now, I want you to notice this, and this is always true as well. Listen. Amnon hates Tamar after the act more than he loved her before the act. And let me tell you why, and this is important to understand this. Because when we give into lust, we always blame the person we lust after. So what happened with the shootings in Atlanta? He was blaming these women for his lust. No, it's not their fault. And so we end up blaming whatever tempted us rather than ourselves. And that's called pride. And so Anna's blaming her. How dare you be so beautiful? How dare you be a temptation to me? How dare you cause me to lust after you? It's all your fault. The second thing I want you to notice also is lustful acts never live up to their billings. Never. Oh, this is going to be so great and everything else, and it's wonderful and everything. And afterwards, like, really? I mean, going back to the 50s, Peggy Lee song, is that all there is? That's all there is. What? That's you keep dancing. You know the old country song, turn out the lights, the party's over. I know this is beyond your time, but I mean,
beyond my time.
Yeah, well, I know that. It's right back there. And so we come here that, you know, the lust, it never fulfills that. That is why, you know, when Dr. Dobson was on the committee on pornography and gambling, he said he saw that they had to do more and more perverse things to get the same type of effect. Just like a druggie, you have to do what? Keep up in the doses to get the same effect. And so that did not fulfill what he thought it would. And so you have men like Deion Sanders, after he went to the Super Bowl, God said, Rumi said, I never felt so empty in my life. That's it? That's it? Really? Gary Paxton. Who knows who Gary Paxton is? He's not in the new hymn book. But he's the one who was the rocker who, in the gutter, is high, strung out. Someone gave him the gospel and came to Christ. He's the one that wrote the song, He Was There All the Time. I don't think it's in the new hymn book, but it's in the old hymn book. He was there all the time. In other words, everything was empty. If you read the song, everything's empty. His relationships were shallow. You know, all his activities were shallow. He says, but there was a man named Jesus waiting there all the time. And so here this lust doesn't fulfill what Amnon thought it would. And we also find out something else, and this is important to note too. Amnon did not love Tamar at all. All he had was what? Lust. I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know if my son would be embarrassed if I say this or not, but you know, one of my sons, I won't tell you which one, but he's a guy, no, never mind. He was working with a guy who was mocking him. You know, it was when he was here at home, and because he, you know, he'd never been with a woman, didn't want to be, and he mocked him, and just, I almost said his name. He turned around and says, do you love any of them? Well, at the time I did. Isn't that shallow? At the time, during the act, I did. Who knows who Oscar Wilde was? Yeah, literary figure. I think he died like age 48 or something. He really died young. And he and this friend of his violated all these boys. And his friend said, did he love any of them? Not really. It's all shallow. It's all fake. It's all hollow. That's why Madonna said fame and fortune is not all that's cracked up to be. And so here, Amnon just did not love her. Lust always disappoints. And here's the trap. This lust is the disappointment, but the next one won't disappoint. And so you go after what? This old carrot stick. You chase another one, chase another one, chase another one. Until you get to Ecclesiastes 12, that it's all what? Vanity and vexation of spirit. All of it. And so David comes. Now I want you to notice verse 21. He says, David was very angry, and what did he do? He didn't do anything. He doesn't even say he didn't talk to Amnon. He was very angry, but he did nothing. We're going to see that with Absalom too. Very angry, but he did nothing. Unless there are consequences, there's no respect. And there's no compliance. Laws are one thing, enforcement is a totally different thing. David's very angry, but he did nothing. And that's why Absalom's going to take matters up into his own hands. And David's lack of action is going to lead to Absalom murdering Amnon. You got this whole thing now with Absalom. He messes that up too, David does, and now Absalom rebels. The whole thing is just a downhill spiral. And who is responsible to control all this? Yeah, David. David was responsible to rule his own household. Matter of fact, we have that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. If a man can't rule his household, what? How can he rule the church? Well, a man can't rule his household, how can he rule a kingdom? Now, here's to me one of the most ironic things in this whole passage. And it would not have been right for Amnon to have Tamar, but if he accepted Tamar's solution, he would have gained a very prized, beautiful, wise wife. But instead, he ends up not only hating her, but being killed because of it. Sin always leads to destruction. But who set the pattern for all this? David did. I know that's a tough Father's Day message. I got another one coming. But Dad, who's responsible for your house? You are. Let's pray, and then we'll have a discussion. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Lord, we look at this. We need to take note. We need to understand the lessons that you have for us. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we'll be the fathers, the men, the grandfathers that we should be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.